I received a phone call Friday evening from my brother. My brother has been without a job for 17 months. He's a safety specialist for a natural gas processing industry and pipelines and refineries and those kind of things. And the company that he was working for decided to close operations in Oklahoma City area where he was. And so he received the proverbial golden handshake and was on his own. And for 17 months, he has been looking for a job. He said, as we talked last night, he said that in those early days, after I told him that I had been nervous for him, whether he was nervous or not, he said, you know, Mark, in those early days, the first couple of weeks that I was without a job all of a sudden for the first time in my adult life, he said, I sat out on my back porch every morning. I took my Bible out there, and he said, I just kind of in that late spring atmosphere of the Oklahoma City area, he said, I just kind of did business with God on the back porch. And he said, a couple of weeks into that, as he was asking God, what am I going to do? How am I going to move forward? What's next for me? Where are you in all of this? He said, in an unmistakable way, God communicated two things to him. The first thing that God said to him was, you're going to have to trust me. There will be times as you're in this season of your life, there will be times that you won't hear from me much. And in those times, you have to trust me. The other thing he said was that in no uncertain terms, the Holy Spirit impressed upon him this other truth, and that is that when you do hear from me, I expect you to obey. And he said, so for 17 months, I've been dealing with those two truths in my life. I must trust God even when it doesn't seem like he's paying attention, and I have to obey him when I know what he says. The reality for all of us, not just my brother, but for all of us, the reality is that there are those times in our lives that take us beyond our own resources. Whether we're talking emotional health or physical health or financial, sometimes certainly relationship, we can run into times in our life and deal with situations in our lives where we are beyond our resources. And it's in those times that most of us are quick to turn to God and cry out to God and say, hey, what about me? I need help down here. It's in those times when we are beyond our own resources that we cry out to God. And if we're really honest, and we should be, if we're really honest in those times when we cry out to God, we really want him to hear us more than we want to hear him. We take our agenda, we take our preferred outcomes. We take our own strategies to God often and say, God, I need help in this situation. Do this, please. We don't always want to hear what he has to say, but here's another truth that goes with that one. We always need to hear what he has to say because his ways are not our ways, and his plans are bigger than our plans. And as we have talked about for the last several weeks, God strategically places us in situations that build our opportunities to trust him. And so those situations that are beyond us often are sent by God, or at least allowed by God, to put us in a position so that we can go to another level in our relationship with him. We always need to hear what he has to say. The truth is, at least in my life, and I suspect it is true for yours, I don't always exhibit good hearing with God. You know, we had a guy in our church in South Texas. He was a great saint. I loved him to death and played a lot of golf with him. He had made his living for many, many years in the construction industry, and especially in the construction industry where he worked outside with big earth-moving equipment. And Preston never really used hearing protection, apparently, in those days, because by the time I knew him later in his life, he just couldn't hear much at all. He wore two hearing aids. And that kind of presented a bit of an issue for us because occasionally in church, maybe once a month occasionally in church, Preston would be there and one of his hearing aids or sometimes both of them would begin to emit this tone. You know the tone I'm talking about? it was just kind of at that level that made it really difficult for a young preacher to preach. And for other people to hear, apparently. But the amazing thing is that Preston could not hear that in his own hearing aids. As they would give him fits in church, other people could hear it, but he couldn't hear it. And so somebody would have to reach up to him and say, hey, you know, and so he would adjust it and everything would be okay again. I say that because I want to just highlight this truth. Isn't that how our Christian life works from time to time? It seems like everybody around us is hearing from God, but often God seems awfully silent to us, especially in those circumstances that take us beyond ourselves when we are particularly interested in what he has to say. Sometimes in life, it's just hard to hear from God. That's so true that I think there's a principle for us in that, and that is that the noise of life can become the biggest enemy for conspicuous Christian living. We've been in Genesis chapter 12, verse 1. I'm going to invite you to turn there again. This is our fourth message out of this one verse. It's the last because we're about to get the Thanksgiving and Christmas series. But as we come to this, I want to give one more look at what God does with this guy named Abram, who would come to be called Abraham, who the Bible would refer to as the father of the faithful. This is the story of Abram, the father of the faithful, the one that the children of Israel look backwards to as the one who is the father of their whole faith, if you will. God does some things with Abram in this one verse that causes us to hover over this verse for a while and see what we can learn about the life of faith, the life that pleases God, according to Hebrews chapter 11, the life that is conspicuous in a world that seems to be sprinting away from Christianity. Abram teaches us something here as God deals with him. We read this in verse 1. Now the Lord said to Abram, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house. That's the stuff we've looked at so far that pushed us back to last week where God is saying to him in no uncertain terms, I want you to get up and I want you to leave your identity, leave your security, leave it all behind. And today's focus, the latter part of that, he says, I'll just read the whole verse. Go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. I don't know how that strikes you, but my suspicion is that if you were in Abram's sandals and God gave you a directive like that, it might cause you to stop for a moment and wonder. Let me get this straight. God, you want me to leave everything about who I have been. You want me to leave my security system. You want me to leave my people. You want me to leave and go where? Did you see where God told him to go? Let me just be real transparent with you. If I'm in Abram's sandals at this point and God says, leave and I'll tell you when you get there, I'm going to stop for a moment and make sure that I heard from God and I didn't just have bad pizza the night before. Leave and go to a place that I will show you. I want to talk around that for a little bit this morning because I think that it provides for us something about the nature of this life, the life that is conspicuous in our society today, the life that causes people to look at us as Christians not as someone of a religion that they think is binding on people, but rather look at us as people with a vibrant relationship with the Holy Spirit, with Jesus Christ, that takes us places and gives us a quality of life that is appealing to them, the life of faith. Maybe we should start off by clarifying what faith is not. When we come to this, there's a lot of what I believe is dangerous teaching in our Christian world today about what this living by faith means and claiming things by faith and all of that. Most of the time, we seem to hear that being talked about as if it is a leap into the dark. Well, God, I don't really know what you want me to do here, but I'm going to do this. And so I just pray as I jump into that, if this is not what you want, then and we never really seem to finish that prayer. We make up our mind if we're not careful, this is where I need to go, this is where I want to go. And so as we go into that without hearing directives from God, we launch out often into a path that may or may not be what God wants from us or for us. We call it a leap into the dark. God just, I don't know what you want, but I'm just going to jump out there and ask you to bless what I'm doing. That's not all wrong, but it's not all right either in the Christian life. So many people approach Christian living in a way that says, I just believe that God will catch me. He'll just honor anything that I do because I'm His, and so I'll just haul off and do something. So many of us live our Christian lives that way. Reminds me of a situation I had at one point. I went to the central part of Texas in the hill country. There was a place there, and they allowed groups to come in. We went into this thing. You know what a faith fall is? This was vogue a long time ago. Youth groups used to do it all the time. Here's essentially what it is. You get a bunch of people to stand below a table. You get one person to stand on the table, cross their arms like this, and just fall backwards and trust those people to catch you. Matter of fact, we're going to do that this morning. I need six people. No, because you're probably too much like me. I remember when I was the one catching people in that particular exercise that it was fine because I knew who I was and I knew that, you know, seven of those ten, I was going to catch them. But when it was my turn to be on the table, I wondered if somebody else wasn't thinking the same thing. Now's our chance to get this guy. You think God approaches us like that? Where He just puts us on a table in life and says, okay, do the best you can, and when you fall, you can just count on me to be here to catch you. Well, I think there's probably enough truth in that for us to talk around it, but I don't think that that's God's plan A. As a matter of fact, I'm convinced that God, as we find Him doing with Abram here, and He'll do it throughout Abram's life, as we find later in the book of Genesis, He did the same thing with Moses, and He did the same thing with His great prophets and the minor prophets and into the New Testament. I don't believe that God's best plan of action for us is to just stand up on a table and do the best you can, and when you fall, I'll be here to pick you up. God is much more intentional in salvation than that. And so for us and for our church especially in these days, we need to make sure that we recognize that faith is not a leap into the dark. If it is a leap at all, it is a leap into the light. Because God regularly gives us enough light for the step that is before us. And if we will listen to what He has to say, this is true in your personal life, it's true in us as a community of faith. If we will listen to what God has to say, He will give us enough light for the next step. Occasionally, He'll give us even more light than that, but most of the time, God is interested in taking us definitively into a deeper trust with Him, and that means that most of the time, we get enough light for the next step. But it's not a haphazard step. It is responding to His call and to His directive for us. Notice again, let's come back to this passage. Let me show you a couple of things where I get that out of this. Remember earlier, I said as we started this 4 weeks ago, that one of those principles of the life that is conspicuous for the glory of God is that God always begins by speaking to us. He always has input for us, and that then opens the door for us to respond to that. We saw that in Genesis 12 and verse 1, but now we're not at the leave part. Now we're at the back end part where God says to him, as you leave, go, and I'll show you when you get to the place you're supposed to be. By definition, that means that God intended to say something else to Abram on this journey. God did not say to him, go over there to that place around the Fertile Crescent. You know, you'll find it when you get over there. That's going to eventually be what we call the land of Israel. You just go there. God did not tell him that. God said, go, and I'll tell you when you get there. The whole plan wasn't revealed. God had a whole plan. He just didn't reveal it all. He gave Abram enough for the task ahead of him, which was start walking. I'm going to suggest to you that God still does that with us. He still tells us, I have a plan. You're part of my plan. Here is a directive for you to do. And until we honor and obey that directive, we're not ready for the next set of light, the one that we so desperately want before we launch out. Let me put that down on the bottom shelf where we live our lives for you. And I don't use this because I'm some great example. It just happens to be the one that taught me the most. For 20 years I pastored a church, or was on staff at a church and pastored it in South Texas. And when we came to the end of that time, God, in my prayer life and our discussions with Teresa also, God let us know that our time at that church was drawing to a close. They needed a new vision and a new pastor to come in, and everything was fine. Nobody was wanting, somebody might have been wanting us to leave, but for the most part, we were fine there, and there was no reason to leave. But God just let us know, you need to prepare your house because I'm going to be moving you. And so we knew that going in, and this church contacted us from East Texas. And so in the process of that, not too deep into that process, Teresa and I started getting a sense that that, in fact, was where God was going to move us. And so we had that. Well, they were still working, and we were working on our side to get to know each other. Could this be a marriage? You know how that whole thing goes. And then somewhere in the process of that, Teresa and I got a definitive word from God: prepare your place. This is where you're going to go. And that committee came down to our church in Edinburgh, and we had one of those days where they showed up and, tried to disperse into the crowd so nobody knew they were there. You know how pulpit committees do. And we had a meeting with them afterwards, and in that meeting afterwards, they told us, we believe that you're the one that God wants us to call as our next pastor. Would you come? So Teresa and I said, well, give us a few minutes to pray about it, a little bit to pray about it. And so we let them know that we would, in fact, go. We knew that that's what God had said, so we said, yes, we'll come. The committee said, thanks, we're going to go home now. So they jumped in the car, they started driving. I got a call from them an hour later. And they said, well, we're kind of embarrassed about this, but we never talked to you about what the salary is that we're going to offer you. And we just didn't think about it. And my response was, well, I've thought about it. Well, so we settled all that up. Here's what I want you to get. I knew definitively, Teresa and I both did, that that's where God was telling us to go. And I could say yes to an invitation from them to come be pastor without knowing the salary, because I knew if God was in it, either the salary was going to be sufficient or he would make it up some other way. Let me take you back to what I said last week. God will regularly put you in positions that will cause you to trust him more, or at least give you that opportunity. Does God still do that kind of stuff with that some lame brain preacher scheme? Or does God still say, go to a place and I will show you when you get there? God's input in our life provides peace and patience where there was none. I entitled this sermon, Did You Hear Something? That grows out of one of my backpacking trips. Matter of fact, my first ever backpacking trip. I just graduated from high school. I had a friend, within a few months or so, had graduated from high school. And my friend in Odessa and I decided we wanted to do some backpacking. I'd been preparing that for a while. And so we loaded up and we drove up to Ruidoso outside of Bonita Lake, and we went backpacking up there, the two of us. And so that first night as I was in my tent, it gets a little bit dark out in the woods. And so we were all bedded down for the night. And all of a sudden, I woke to the sound of something moving in the brush just across the creek from us. Now, we were far enough out that I knew it couldn't be people, so that meant it must be a chupacabra or a bear or a wolf. Any number of horrible animals that were coming to rip through my tent and eat me alive in the middle of the night. I knew it had to be that. And so I was laying there trying to decide what I was going to do in response to the danger that was outside, that was just right across the creek from our campsite, when I hear my buddy, Mark, did you hear something? And I wanted to say, Well, now they know we're here because you've been talking. I want us to draw from that, that the reality is that as we go through our life and we respond to those calls that God gives us, take a step, country. Leave your identity. Leave your security. God says those things to us, and he only gives us enough light for that step. Sometimes the darkness beyond the light gets really big and really loud in our spirits. But if we're only stepping because God said, take the step, then there's peace that we draw from him. If we know that God's the one that said, do this, then there's patience as we wait for him to tell us to do the next thing. Let's put that on Abram here. What should Abram have taken from this? What might he have taken from this? How could he just gather all of his stuff and move on? The statement itself as a promise is loaded with meaning for us. And I will show you when you get there. You know what that implies? That implies that there's no way Abram was going to die on this trip because God is already telling him, I'm going to tell you when you get there. That means you're going to get there. That's an important word for you if you're afraid of what might be lurking in the darkness out there beyond God's light in your life. It also means that God was going to see to it that Abram did not miss it. And by the way, he could have missed it, you know. If we project ourselves onto Abram, it's easy for me to see how he could have missed it. Because I could miss God's... We allow a lot of stuff into our lives that cause us to miss it. Guys, you ever get mad at your wife? Wait a minute, don't answer that. What if Abram was mad at his wife on the day that they happened to be walking through the area that God intended him to stop? And he allowed the situation in his head and in his relationship... Some of y'all are throwing elbows out there. You need to stop that. I won't be able to finish out here. We let stuff in like that that causes us not to be in position to hear what God has to say. He could have been mad at his wife. He could have been dealing with a business deal gone wrong. Not that that ever happens with any of us, but you know how that happens when something goes wrong or right? And maybe we get either dejected or we get silly happy about stuff and our spiritual sensitivity gets thrown out of whack. And where we should be listening for the voice of God because it's a huge day in his plan for us, we get distracted. That's why I said earlier, the noise of our lives has a way of distancing us from hearing God's voice. This is not a leap into the dark. This is a leap into the light where God says, do this, and he gives us the light for that. For just a moment here, I want to speak to us as a church. Our committee on committees is in the final steps now of selecting the task force that will begin meeting in January to take us as a church into very definitive plans to address our vision. That vision, which is to connect people with the love and the life of Jesus Christ. And so we are putting together and actually, it's in the final stages. You probably get a chance to vote on it Wednesday night in our business meeting, I suppose. But that group of people is going to come, and they're going to be charged with bringing a report and some recommendations to us as a church on things that we might do. But let me just say, if you happen to be on that committee, you know who you are already, or if the church approves it. But whether you know who those people are or not, let me just say this categorically, that if they... or we, as a church, are ever going to go to the place that God has designed for us, somebody better be able to hear from him. Somebody better be listening to what God is specifically saying. Somebody needs to see where the light is when God says, put your foot here. Now, I happen to believe that the group that they are putting together is uniquely qualified to do that and to help us as a church do that. So be praying for them. If you're not one of them, as we go forward, because what we're asking them is to hear from God about where we need to go as a church. And then pray for yourself, because all they're going to do is bring a report and recommendations. The church has to prove that. The church has to embrace that. The church has to adopt that in the way we live our lives out. It is not a leap into the dark when we follow Jesus Christ. It is a leap into the light, if it's a leap at all, and it always requires listening. So we need to get God's input on our situation, but here's a corollary to that. Because our lives are so loud and we easily miss God's voice, we must be diligent to carve out space in our lives so that we can listen. Abram had to do that here. He already had God's directive, leave. He had a choice to make. He had a trip to take. But what he needed was God's next input. If the input is leave and I'll show you when I get there, then by definition, he better be listening when God said, okay, you're here. The truth for us is we must pattern our lives that way. We must. Because the enemy is very strategic and very subtle in the way that he rips our attention away and we get focused on other things. So we must carve out space to hear from God. There's a number of applications we could make to that. Let me just make this one. In that carving out of space, it's not enough just to do Christian things. For instance, I'm not suggesting that carving out space to listen from God is to listen to 30 minutes worth of Christian music a day. That listening to Christian music doesn't mean that you're hearing from God necessarily. He may speak to you through that, but that's not necessarily listening to the voice of God. It might be just a surrogate for God's voice. I'll take you back to my brother's example. Because in those days for him, he desperately needed to hear from God. What's going on with my future? Not only his own life, but the life of his wife and his family. What do we do next? How do we get through this season of our lives? God, I need to hear from you. And so he went out on the back porch. No TV out there. You know, his dogs were out there, but they kind of were dogs. They just hanging out with their owner. My brother said day after day, for week after week, his morning started with an appointment with God on the back porch, listening for what God might say. You know, it ended up being a pretty smart thing for him to do that. You remember God told him two things. You need to trust me, but you need to obey me, because somewhere in that 17-month stretch, he got an offer for a job, or at least pretty close to it. And he turned it down because God told him in the midst of that, that's not the job that I have for you. I started off by talking about the conspicuous life. In our society, the people that are outside the walls of our churches are not sold on Christianity. They see it as a restrictive exercise, many of them. So it's going to take more than just a good argument that we take to them to try to win them over to the cause of Christ. It's going to take someone who lives through the hard times in such a way that proves that God is still alive and still has input for them. As I was talking to my brother Friday, he called to let us know that God had given him a job. I thought through the 17 months of his life that stretched my faith. I love my brother, and it was hard for me to watch him struggle through those days. Now, I wasn't about to give him any money, but it was still hard for me to watch him struggle through those days. And I can't tell you how many conversations I had with him over a 17-month stretch where he gave evidence of the fact that he was hearing from God, and it was sustaining him through that. Some of you have gone through some things or are going through some things that you may not understand what God's doing, and you're clinging for your dear life to the Word of God and His promises to you. You may not understand what's going on, but I want you to know some of us are watching you. And your life is a testimony to the validity of trust and obey. I like to say it this way. God didn't bring you this far just to drop you now. For us as a church, as we go into a future that is a lot of dark out there, what we need more than anything else is to hear the voice of God that says, step here. And then until he says, step here for the next step, then we wait. And we trust. And we always obey. Let me ask you to bow your heads with me, if you will, as we close. I'm curious as to where you are in this sermon today, because I think all of us are in it at one place or another. It's possible that you're here. You've been wondering about what you're going to do with the next part of your life. Some of you may be considering joining our church. Some of you may be considering whether or not you're even going to go further with Christ or whether it was all some kind of a exercise in futility. I'm going to encourage you, whatever the decision that you have, is that you listen for God's voice, because he loves you more than you can even imagine. His plan would never be to sacrifice you on some kind of altar somewhere. His plan is to give you life. The best way to experience that life is to be right in the center of his plan for you. And that might be a little disconcerting. It might be like Abram, where God says, I'm going to move you around a little bit, whether in your thinking or otherwise. The best place to be is right in the center of his plan. Maybe some of you are here today, and for the first time, you're hearing the invitation to life that God issues to you through his Holy Spirit that only comes in Jesus Christ. If you don't know Jesus as your Savior, today's the day. Respond to his invitation to life. If you don't know what that means, what to do with it, you don't need to unsure exactly why you're feeling what you're feeling, but you need to talk to somebody. This invitation time is for you for that. Whatever decision that God is placing on your heart now, because he's speaking to you now, now's the time. Father, change lives now is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Please stand and let's sing together. You come.